everyone. Oh my God. Yes, it has been an incredibly long time since you guys have last heard from me, which was in November. And I've had some of you checking up on me, and I thank you so much. You guys are awesome. I had a big move at the end, after my last podcast, at the end of November. And things have been kind of crazy since then. So it just getting back into the flow of things, finding time, finding space in my life, with major life changes that go on, it's good to be, to try to keep steady, to try to, if you're the type of person that, or should I say, you're the type of witch that likes things to remain the same, stable, secure, grounded, no matter what's going on around you, then yes, major life changes are going to shake the foundation of any witch, but someone who I've just, a witch like I've just described, would still maintain that stability somewhere to where they can function in the way that they want to. I have those ideas, but I'm not necessarily that type of witch. I go more with the flow of things. So my life tends to roll with the punches. And if things get a little jumbled, if I have a compact set of ways I do things, think about a triangle on a pool table, the balls inside, they have a set pattern, and if an outside force like life comes in and upsets that, then things just kind of go with the flow, with the movement of the energy that it's impacted by. That might make other witches uneasy. That might make some witches like, well, that's a little defined. We're all different types. So as things are coming back together, the dust is settling. I am able to find my center again. I'm able to be regrounded. And there is a magic you can do for anything. I'm not that type of witch. I don't think that magic should be used so freely-nilly. And some people, I mean, if you do it every day, that's fine. With every situation, that's fine. If you're that type of witch, I'm not. I just like to let nature take its course sometimes. You know, as to me, I feel it should. We shouldn't be so in control of nature, because controlling nature means that anything that we're not in control of is going to be upsetting, and it shouldn't be that way. Okay, so thank you guys. If you're coming back, if you're listening now, thank you so much. Let's see, what are we going to get into talking about today? Oh my God. Okay. So the most prominent topics these days have been about, you know what I'm going to mention, COVID-19. How have you witches have been dealing with this? I'll tell you how I have been dealing with this. A lot of people like to define this whole thing. That's our very nature, is looking for a definition, some type of identity. We try to categorize everything, and I don't believe everything needs to be categorized to the point where, especially when you're talking about one side being right. Like, everybody wants to put a label on this whole thing, and in the whole process, we end up putting labels on each other and judging each other. And it's just all negative energy surrounding that. There's a lot of negative energy that resonates around this whole COVID-19. And it's more so what we've put around it. Between the media and politics around it. And the general consensus of the of society around it. I actually believe that the safest way to handle, to live inside the walls of this disease or this pandemic is to not live within the walls at all. To stand on the outside of it. And my last podcast, I talked about using astrology and your birth chart and magic. Disassociating from the chaos, the walls surrounding this disease is actually what I do, what I'm doing. Disassociating, separating, detaching from the whole thing. And the other part, and another part of that is also keeping an awareness, being an aware witch. Being an aware witch of what's going on, what your responsibility is, whether you're inside the walls or outside the walls. And what I mean by that is, are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? You can be, being a witch, we know the power of, nature, nature's power, nature's intrinsic power. And knowing that, we know that there may be things that we are not aware of. Okay? We harness the power, the energy of the universe. Some witches, different gods, but they're still higher. They're us. We are the universe. Universe is in us. But it's still bigger than us. And there are powers, energy out there that we don't, that we can't see it. And so having a responsibility, being an ethical witch, being a responsible witch is included in this whole thing, because we may not know if we don't go get tested, we don't know if we're carriers or not. We don't know who we're infecting or anything like that. And to be mindless, not mindful of that, but to be mindless is being an irresponsible witch. So, doing your part, you don't have to, like, you don't have to be following the exact guidelines. You have to wear a cloth mask or whatever. Regulations of that has altered and changed over the course of this COVID-19. And so things are not set in stone. Things are really fluid. They're not really solid, which is where a lot of the mistrust in the public is coming from with the advice and the information we're given. So, however you mask or keep others safe, whether you believe COVID-19 is a real thing or not, because we have witches who are natural conspiracy theorists, of course. So whether you believe it's a real thing or not, and I kind of go, you know, flip-flop from one to the other. I believe it's a real thing, but I believe it's an engineered thing, but you know, a manually human engineering, engineered by humans, but nature in its own way has a way of keeping balance, a natural balance. In that natural balance, what happens sometimes is that diseases, things happen. And COVID-19 is just one of those things that helps, that the universe uses to keep a natural balance. It's not evil. Every life and death is a natural cycle. It's a natural cycle. It's our perception of it that creates a good versus evil. Okay, it's our dependency on holding on to things that we can't control that creates this deception or perception, what have you, of good versus evil. So, it's a thing. It's a thing. And it happens. It's been happening long before even, oh my God, millennia. It's something that's always been happening. This just did not start with COVID-19. It's been going on long before even structured society, but structured is not the word I'm looking for. Not even industrial, but since society became sophisticated, it's been existing long before then. It's natural, it's nature. So that balance is as old as the universe. So yeah. Witches naturally do have an ethical responsibility to those around us, to the elderly, those who are weaker, those who are sicker. And you can't tell who's sick, who's, you know, all the time, because a lot of people suffer where you can't see their illness. So you don't know who's more vulnerable So don't rely on just mundane vision. So yeah, that ethical responsibility is always going to be there. It's always going to be there. And it's not always going to be there because COVID-19 is always going to be there. No, that's not the connection. No matter what's going on, which is always have an ethical responsibility. And I spoke on this in one or maybe more of my earlier podcasts that that ethical responsibility ties into karma. And there are some who call themselves witches who don't feel that karma applies to them. A ritual bath or whatever can avert karma, negative karma away from them when they do something like black magic or whatever. Black magic. Basically, and that's not the case. That's not true. Don't fall into that belief because you don't control nature. Nobody controls nature. By the very nature that controls us is why we are even in existence. Why we humans, animals, plants, and all that, there is an energy that is deeper than that. Yes, the universe is what we see, but it's even deeper than that. Because even what we see sprang from the universe. And universal law, karma is exact. It doesn't care about who you are. It doesn't care about what family you come from, what belief system you have, what magic you can do, whatever. It exacts its own, especially. So if you're a witch, you really know this. Even if somebody does something wrong to you and you feel you are justified in performing some black magic to protect yourself or to retaliate, it does not matter. Karma still exists. The only way, and I've mentioned this before, the only get out of jail free card in this when dealing with karma is to allow karma to decide the fate. And with that, in doing so, going back to this COVID-19 thing, is that you do what you feel is right, is responsible, is ethical, is advantageous to those around you, including yourself. Don't forget yourself in this. And those around you, and being positive and just letting the universe handle the rest. Instead of going around being like, I don't care about this COVID-19 thing, and I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not sick. If you're wearing a mask, you're okay, then I can do whatever I want to. Because the verdict will never be in on what's the safest way to prevent others from contracting COVID-19. Saying that somebody who's wearing a mask is okay because they have a mask on, so you don't have to wear one. I mean, it is really unclear. There's a big fog there on whether masks are even as effective as that. Gloves spread more germs, and it can create like a cesspool of germs on things that people who don't feel that they need to even protect themselves against, barehanded might touch, and other parts of their body, from like an itch that suddenly appears on the nose or the face or whatever. And they tend to that, not thinking in that flash second that it takes that they could be transferring the virus. That's why some stores, some restaurants have are not permitting gloves, people wearing the wearing of gloves in their establishment, because it's just spreads germs. It's a cesspool of germs. So everything they just cleaned, you're now just ugh. The skin is our first line of defense. It's a natural defense. And yes, there is immune system defense and all that. The skin is our first line of defense. So that's why I don't like gloves in this, you know, the way in as a preventative measure. I prefer just bare skin. But if your immune system is low, if you're sick, even if you're healthy but you have a cold or whatever, hand sanitizer, if you're not allergic to it. If you fit that category, but you are allergic to hand sanitizers, then you have to wear a glove, but be super vigilant about being responsible about what you touch and where you go. You know, what you do with your hands and stuff like that, because just because you're wearing gloves doesn't mean you're safe to touch people or other parts of your body or, you know, anything that you want. Just pick it up and put it down, you know. An ungloved person picking up a vegetable at the grocery store has a first line of defense. That's their skin. When that virus can rest on their skin, when it comes in contact, when the virus comes in contact with bodily fluids, that's when it enters the body and things can start happening. So, I don't 100% trust that everybody knows how to properly dispose of them either. Gloves. So it is what it is. You have to be as vigilant as you can, because everybody, not just witches, everybody has a responsibility. Everybody has a responsibility in this, but this is, I'm talking to witches here, or those who are interested in learning more about us. And so, yeah, you cannot consciously go around and just be irresponsible and call that good magic. Okay, so let's move on to another topic. Let's see. I have one in my head, but I don't want to discuss it because it could be a bit controversial. Well, I'm not afraid of controversy, so I guess I will just go ahead. This is more Wiccan than it is actual witchcraft, because even though the type of witch existed, like druids, the term is out of Wicca, that is Christian witchcraft. I have wandered into some groups that are Christian-based witches. Interesting. My grandmother's a witch. Y'all know that. And her ancestors, my mom and all them. But my grandfather was a Christian, and he is a Christian. He's passed on, but you know the living still live. The dead still live. And so I thought maybe joining, a couple of these groups would be, well, actually a few more than a couple, would be interesting to see what they're about, because a lot of witches have either a one universe concept or many gods or few gods. That goes against everything Christian, right? So, in joining, everything just seems my perception is it's a very controlled atmosphere to be in. It's stricter than mainstream Christianity. Christian witch groups are more strict than mainstream Christianity. There are certain things that you are allowed to believe, and if you have a more of a universal, or you're not allowed to have even a thought process towards even the possibility of another God. It's more Christian witch groups are very I got this word in my head. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Verging in a lot of witches don't believe in Satan, but it's like it verges on that because it's like a cult. It's very cultish, and it's a negative energy, a negative view, a negative perception that they employ because they give you instructions, they give you their history that they found through researching how they believe that. And they're like so in their gung-ho, just very narrow with no room for movement on either way, on either side, straight just to worship of God or Jesus. They call Jesus their brother, which I can see. But you're not allowed freedom of opinion. You're not allowed freedom in any other way, really. It has to be just strictly freaking obsessive worship. Obsessive focus on the Bible. And even churches allow a little bit of flexibility. Most churches, not all, but most. And so being the whole concept of being Christian or witch is not really a witch in the traditional sense. So I'm going to give them some slack here because they don't have that concept that we are born into. They don't have that witch perspective that we are born into. So, not working from that, I can see how, well, they're just really hardened. They're very hardened. And they're more hard than a nun, I would say. They're very hardened into it. And they're very hard on themselves. They really believe in this punishing evil God that punishes them for just being the natural form that he would, I don't know why a God like what they believe in, have any useful pronouns, would believe in. Now, I know that statement I just made goes into other witches who actually believe in a bunch of other gods, like pantheons of gods who have he and she pronouns and stuff like that. But it's like it's so hell-bent on sexism because of the original writers of the Bible or the controllers of the Bible, however you want to say. The spell book actually is what the Bible is. It's a spell book. There's a lot of masculine energy in there, but there's also a lot of quiet feminine energy in there. And I think that Christians and Christian witches take that out of context and screw it up completely. Jesus even taught magic in the Bible. And was trying to teach his disciples who were so hell-bent on being ignorant that they refused to see it. So, if you find yourself amongst these people, just realize that you might not sit well with them because they refuse to see anything or consider anything outside of anything that is their biblical strict teaching. Can there be a Christian witchcraft that is not so rigid and anal? Yes, I do believe. I believe in a possibility of all these things. If there can be many gods, there can be one. If I don't believe God, especially in the Christian sense, that they contradict themselves a lot, because to disdain and ban the idolization of gods, of other gods, they idolize the God that they idolize, who gets jealous, which is a human condition, which is, there is no jealousy in nature. If you look at flowers, they don't compete with each other. If you look, it's a natural cycle of life within animals, but nature gets along quite well. So there's no jealousy there. So why would a God who, and their God is separate from what it created. I'm not separate from my kids. They are my heartbeats. They are my joy. My DNA, they carry my DNA. So I am them. They are me. We are that extension. We're not separate. But they have a jealous God who has this human low-level condition. And you got people that aren't naturally the jealous types. So that makes them better than that God. It goes deep down the rabbit hole here. So it's why I disdain, I just don't like calling it Christian witchcraft, because it's not witchcraft. It's Christianity, period. It is not Christian witchcraft because they use spells, because the Bible itself is a spell book. They're just Christians who don't feel accepted or want to do something different than the rest of the Christians are doing. So these titles in Wicca, don't get yourself all mixed up. They're fun, okay? But don't get yourself all mixed up and lose the fact that you are intrinsically a witch. You were a witch before all these titles came around, okay? Even if you're younger and you're younger than, even if you born after 1954, you are a witch. In the cosmos, in the universe, you are already born. You are already created before you took human forms. You are already a witch. So don't let these titles confuse you, make you think you're supposed to fit in anywhere. Okay? The titles are trying to fit in with you, not the other way around. Okay, so let's see what else. Let's talk about. I've been gone so long. I had some good ideas. Okay, let's talk about. That's a good one. How to present yourself as a witch. Okay, and how to present yourself as a witch. Let's see. When you are associating with people, they've got a lot of hereditary witches that are ancestral witches that are in the closet out of fear of ridicule. We got some that don't know how to fit in with their friends or with a group of people and still keep their identity. How to mingle with another religious group but still keep their identity. How to not look like a pretend witch and still be a valid witch. Let me repeat that. How to not look like a pretend witch and still be a valid witch. Because people seem to think that you're supposed to look the part. Now, there are a lot of real witches out there that don't, you would not even suspect are witches because they don't look anything. They're not wearing black. They don't have a witch's hat. They don't have all these crystal jewels or pentagrams or all that mess going on. Okay. So my best advice I can give you is that you have to, okay, so this is one thing you can do. What is one thing about being a witch that you think is safe to come out in? Let's say you like the fact that you naturally that you pick up energy really, really well. And you love things like crystal balls and stuff like that because it's inherited from your family. You could take that in a creative stance and say, hey, you know, I'm really into antiques. And then you can just use that to help you come out more and more without taking it to an obvious witchy stance that might draw eyes to you, discriminating eyes to you. But know that everybody has something about them that somebody's going to dislike. Somebody's going to judge. But I think that being a witch, being a person of color, and being an LGBTQIA brings along with it some special considerations. Because these marginalized societies are the often most ridiculed and persecuted worldwide. So this is a tender topic because it depends on the level of confidence within you, what you feel you can handle, how much you feel you can deal with without feeling like you need to break open your dark spell book and start whooping ass everywhere. Just know that some people are just not open-minded. Period. Some are, but have very strict limitations, which to me, that means they're still not open-minded. You just have to go out and feel the temperature of wherever you are. And if it feels like something that's comfortable to you, then use whatever it is that you like the best about yourself, about being a witch, and use that as your compass, as your hand of intention. And go out there and just embrace it in front of everybody. Like the antique example. You can really go out there and collect antiques. You can go out there and you can wear antique jewelry that has certain magical significance to you, but it's not openly occultish. There are different ways to do that. You don't have to be just go out there and be like, oh, I'm a witch and I feel persecuted because everybody sees this and it's my identity, so I wear black and I wear all this jewelry and I have a witch's hat and all this stuff. None of that makes you a witch. None of it. You don't have to go out there in any of it. Okay? It's just things that we witches identify with. It's things that we feel help, you know, divine us. And of course, these things are more than just things. These things are symbols for us. These things have deeper meaning than just making us look like witches. okay? The witch's hat, the point, intention. Everything that we use, the besom, the everything, and these types of things are in Wicca, and they embrace these things because they think that's what makes them witchy. But it's not. It is what makes them witchy, because they're not, those who are not like us have to, they need that thing that helps identify them, that helps them, helps the define them to what they're trying to identify with. But when it comes so natural through you, through your bloodline, through everything, every cosmos that brought you here, you don't need that. So don't fall into that trap of thinking that that's what you need. If you know, because you're a witch, you don't need anything. All you need is intention and focus. And focus is intention. Focused intention. Okay? That's really all you need. The rest is just accessories. Okay? So, if you choose to accessorize yourself, go ahead. If you choose not to, you don't have to. But you can wear like a cabochon that has like a symbol in it or inscribed on the back of it. And that can, that energy within itself, within that magical existence within, in the cabochon itself also can be something very powerful for you. And so definitely do that. But it doesn't have to be a show off that you're a witch. Okay? And that's where a lot of the negativity comes from, when people who are against us witches or against us marginalized society sees us. And yes, their ugliness shows when they are ugly towards us. But, and yes, if you're a witch, you're part of the marginalized society. The Christianity being power elite. You know, you just have to be aware, being an aware witch, awareness, being aware of what's going on, your impact, and shielding and protecting yourself from the negative impacts of others, so you can be your happy, true self. Don't let somebody's negativity make them happy, but stop you from being happy, okay? You take their negativity, turn it around for positive, for you, make it a blessing for you, and show them how negative they are. Reflect that negativity back to them. You don't need any of that crap. You just turn whatever negative they have for you, turn into a positive for yourself, okay? And allow yourself to live happy, fulfill your best life. Live it. Regardless of who thinks you shouldn't. Okay. Now, for those of you who want to integrate like Christian groups and stuff, know that that would be quite hard. You are also, I found that there are Christians who down low will be, it's the messaging you for spells and stuff, but when they're around their greater society, all of a sudden they're a devout Christian who feels that spells and witchcraft is from the devil, Satan, whatever. Know that you got a lot of Christians who are afraid to go against the status quo of Christianity. But on the low, when they're not under the scrutinizing eye of the Christian group that they're in, whatever. Now they're able to breathe. You can't breathe. You can't live if you can't breathe. Breath is the defining force of life. And you can't live if you can't breathe. That's not living. So just know you're going to run into those types of people. And I know a lot of you probably already have. How do you deal with them? As you can go ahead. You can continue. You can be the, you know, friend on the side, you know. I love you, but not when I'm a Christian in this group. But I love you on the side, if that's fine with you. Or you can just be, you can be very outward, you know, vocal about you being a witch in your own life. And so that when that person associates with you, they know that your identity is bigger than their insecurity. And so that puts it back onto them to decide what, you know, what's ethical for them to do in that situation, what's right for them to do. It doesn't go on you, and it doesn't make you feel insecure. You're still secure in who you are. Always be that. And you can be outward. You can be vocal about it. You can have your Facebook page that says that, you know, you're a witch and all this kind of stuff. Or you can just be like, walk up to somebody and they say, they talk about God, and you'd be like, confidently tell them that you're a witch, and they know that you will do that. And so always be confident, but don't let their insecurity place those walls that they're in around you. But what if you do want to be outward? I would say that go ahead and do, you know, the accessories. You can go ahead and put personal things in there, and don't allow anybody put you in the category of Wiccan, okay? Because you're not. Because Gardner was a druid. He was already a witch when he created Wicca. So nothing belongs to Wicca. Wicca does not own anything. Okay? It all, the witches do. Okay? And so do not sit up here and let anybody define or call you Wiccan. Okay? You're a witch. Okay? You gave Wicca what it is. Okay? Wicca, when Gardner created Wicca, it's this organized. It's so awesome, this organization and everything. But people who want to be a witch, who feel that nature is calling them to be a witch, identify with the many hundreds or maybe thousands by now titles in Wicca. Wicca is defined by that, but we're not. We gave them that definition, that identity. So Gardner being our cosmic witch brother, is he spoke to all of us witches, all of us ancestral, all of us hereditary witches, in that, in when he created Wicca. He brought our energy in with them. And he represented us all. And so, when Wicca was formed, it was started out as an identity thing. Kids, like teens, started out a teen thing, became popular as a teeny thing. And then some adults started wanting to be one too, because they thought the teeny thing, like the teenage witch and all that kind of stuff, was cool. But we were already that cool before Wicked came about. Okay. Now, George did not keep a written record of anything. So, the grimoire and the Book of Shadows and all that. But Druids weren't the only witches around. So other witches have kept books of spells and stuff like that. Logs or even lists or even correspondences that they created themselves, whether mentally or written down. And mainly everything was mentally and in conversation with the Druids. So all that already happened. And so as life progressed and we become more sophisticated, more technologically sophisticated as well, more creative things were created. And so you get all these elaborate things now that we see in witchcraft. I was about to say in Wicca, but I'm going to say in witchcraft because this is how witchcraft has evolved. And we have the Wiccans underneath our umbrella, underneath our arm, because we see them as wanting to be what we can reach back in ancestry of being. And just feel kind of protective about that. It's like having a little cousin, so to speak. And that's not said in a derogatory way or to put anybody down. It's just saying that they're not related in that way, but they're still in our family. All right, so let's see, I got 2.5 minutes left, and what else can I talk about? I want to thank everybody who has ever liked any of my podcasts, all of my subscribers. I want to thank you so much. You are so appreciated. I appreciate you all so much. And let's see, if anybody wants to donate to my channel, to my podcast, my Cash App is $MysticFlow. And all right, so I will be talking to y'all later, and I see. This is be the first time I haven't used every single bit of my time, but I'm just right there under the gun. So I will be back next week with some more topics, and bye. Until then.